From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We are well into the month of January, well into the year 2015. I kidded with the congregation here at 9th Avenue the other day that we might need to have our contribution checks looked at to make sure they're not dated from 2014, but it is 2015, and I'm here with my wife, Leah. Leah, last week the program was just me, so Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
We're glad to be back with you, and we mentioned on last week's program that we're experimenting. Let me take just a moment here and let you know we're experimenting with the podcast a little bit. You may have noticed last week's program was only about 7.5 or 8 minutes long. We're going to have a couple of our regular programs each month, including this one today. And then during the other Thursdays, we're going to just have a shorter devotional-style podcast. That next week's will be one of those, in fact. It'll be about 5 or 6 or 7 minutes long. And we would really like some feedback about that. We'll give you some contact information at the end of the program. And we would really like to hear from you if you like this little experiment, if you think it's just a really dumb idea, whatever. Any feedback you would give us, hopefully with nice words. But even if you don't like what we're doing, we would greatly appreciate that. With the beginning of 2015, families have all kinds of resolutions and goals. What we're going to be talking about on this particular program, though, Leah, is something that we did as a family last year. I guess the best way to put it is almost unintentionally. Now, the intentional part is we try our best to have family devotionals. We call them Bible time. Each evening or most evenings, we're not one of those that does 7 days a week, but probably 4 or 5 nights a week, we have a family Bible time. And I honestly was trying to think as we were getting ready for this, Leah, I don't remember when we started this, but sometime in the middle of last year, your husband got the bright idea that, hey, let's read through Matthew as a family. I mean, it'd be a good idea, right? And then we finished Matthew, and he had the brilliant idea, let's read Mark. And I think our listeners probably know where this is going. As we record this, we are not quite finished, but we're calling this program What We've Learned from Reading Through the New Testament with Our Children. On the day we're recording this, we are tomorrow beginning the book of Revelation. We're that close, and that should be a lot of fun, by the way. Nothing like teaching, 7 and 9-year-olds about, horsemen that are like black and ashen and all kinds of stuff.
It'll be interesting.
It will be, because Mary Carol has already asked about 50 times, hey, what does that mean?
She always has a question on everything you ever read. Her hand will go up every single time. What does this mean? Is he talking? Who is he talking to? And
yeah, Revelation's going to be a blast. But this, as I said, this kind of started almost accidentally. I just kind of had the brainstorm. We were trying to think of some things to do with our family Bible time, and I thought, hey, let's read through Matthew, and then honestly, we just kept going. And so we want to share just a couple of things we've learned, maybe some suggestions if you ever want to try this with your children. And I'm going to speak maybe some more mistakes or some things we've learned that weren't that great and let Leah kind of talk more to the educational side of things here. Leah, I'm going to put this in real general terms. The main thing I've learned is Romans is hard. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yes, there are some difficult passages, but the kids, even if they've grown up going to church, which ours have, they've heard enough of the stories, they've heard enough of the parables that they can pretty much follow along. There's going to be one or two nights where, it's an odd part of the Gospels, which there are a few. Acts, there's enough stories. Obviously, the names are familiar, Paul and Peter and Barnabas and so forth. But you get to those letters, and I've taught Romans before, and I'm sitting there reading it going, I still don't understand all of this. And the kids are going, I don't have a clue about anything Daddy is saying. When you get to those letters, yeah, you have to read them. But what maybe could we have done, or what did you notice that we did where it was just like, what are we thinking here?
I think maybe if we went back and did this again, it would be great to pinpoint maybe on each chapter something that you really wanted them to remember from that chapter. You know, maybe something that's a little bit more on their level. You know, what can we learn from this verse, and how does this, and really make it come alive to them in that way. You know, we've kind of, I think you're going to talk about this later. You know, we tried to go through and pick out some memory verses from each of the readings and that we were, you know, going to work on or have already worked on. But I think that would be one of the biggest, is to think about, you know, go back and reread a verse after you're finished and say, you know, what does this mean? What do you think this is talking about? And if you really want to do a great Bible time, and not everyone can do this every night, but, you know, maybe have some activity that went with that particular concept or lesson that you wanted them to remember from that.
That's really good. Yeah. Just by the way, I should have mentioned this at the very beginning, is we did not read X number of chapters a night. We always read at least a chapter just so it was easy to keep up with things. But there were some times we read one. In fact, a lot of time we read one. I would say probably we averaged, this is totally guesswork here, I'd say we probably averaged a chapter and a half a night. But I was probably over half the nights were one. But then every once in a while, especially when you get into some of those shorter letters like Galatians and, you know, the Thessalonian letters, even the chapters are short enough. You can read 3 and 4 in, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, and that's what we tried to do. And frankly, some of that, Leah, was once we got to, you know, I'll say it again, through Romans, I was ready to be done. Mm-hmm. But we had started this challenge, and we thought, you know what, let's just go for it. Why not? I mean, how many 9-year-olds or 7-year-olds can say they've listened to the entire New Testament? You know, why not?
Well, and we kind of moved during that time, too.
There
was that little thing, and so it's not like you have all of your mental capacity during those times to be on top of things like that. And, you know, I'm proud of us. And I don't, you know, I guess it's okay to say, but I'm proud of us that we kept on with it, because now at this point we're able to say, you know, we're almost done.
Yeah, we've done, you know, if we'll finish it, Lord willing, this week. As we're recording this, the week it'll be posted, and mm-hmm. hopefully this week we will finish. And I'll say this, I'm going to let you talk to this maybe a little more here. Did we do this every night while we were, you know, in the process of moving? No. But I think that our family Bible time, we tried to keep it going while we were packing and, you know, getting ready and everything. And then obviously once we got settled in here, and I think it was kind of one of those things that sort of anchored the move. You know, the kids knew that in the evenings we're still going to be doing these things.
Right. And I think you know, especially, and I'm always proud of you because you're the one that will make sure it happens. And I guess in every family, they'll have to be that one person, you know, the mom or the dad who's going to make sure this happens. And I'm glad that it's you and our family, because there are plenty of nights that's the first time I've sat down on the couch, except for maybe eating a snack or reading to the kids, but just, you know, to where I'm just there and you're reading. And so, I don't know, it gets kind of interesting for me to sometimes keep my motivation up, I guess, to listen and to keep on going with something like that, I guess, because of that.
I guess it's a good thing that I lead in that, except when I get these wild ideas of reading through the entire New Testament with 7 and 9-year-olds. One of the things I wanted to talk about, yes, it's a challenge. We mentioned that. But I also mentioned near the beginning that I can't remember when we started this. I would guess maybe June, somewhere in there. I don't know. But it's taken us roughly half a year, 7 months. And that's another suggestion I would make here, is if you want to tackle this, especially as your children are smaller, we keep saying our kids are smaller, obviously they're getting somewhat older. 9 is not exactly the smallest kid in the world, but spread it out. You know, we got to a point where it was like, let's just finish. You know, in last week's podcast, Leah, the one that I did by myself, you know, one of the things we talked about was reading through the Bible or reading through one of the Testaments. You know, find one of those year-long New Testament reading plans instead of, you know, just trying to finish it by the end of the year, and you wait to start till August or whatever. You know, if you try to just read the New Testament in 1 year, I think all you have to read is something like 8 minutes a day or something like that. It's something very short. And obviously you're going to miss a day here and there, you know, probably if you're human, you know, kids get sick, you're traveling, whatever. But if you get one of those year long or even more, you know, if you're really small, Bible reading plans, that's a way to accomplish this. Yes, it's going to take a while, but you also don't feel like, I've got to read the whole book of Hebrews tonight or whatever.
And it will be better for the kids, obviously, because you can focus more on that particular passage that you're reading and do some of the things like we were talking about earlier with coming up with an activity. It would be more meaningful to the kids, and I think they would remember and get more out of it if it was smaller.
We talk about this idea of reading the New Testament and or the Bible for that matter, but since we read the New Testament, that's where we're focusing. Some people say it's just too hard. you know, the language is too difficult. We read from the English Standard Version, but still, you know, it's a standard translation of the Bible. You've got words like propitiation in there that I'm not sure what they mean sometimes. I've got to look them up, you know. You've got all these strange things. But you've mentioned this earlier, but I want to circle back around to this. As you were talking about before we started recording, there's something to be said for the kids have at least heard those things. And then when they're in a sermon or in a class, it flips something in their mind.
When you read about reading to children in general, you don't read to them on the level that they can read already. You read to them.
You're not teaching them anything at that point.
You can read to them, of course, from a higher reading level, and they will still understand it. And so, I mean, that's, you know, most people know that, but I don't know how many people will put that in the same concept of reading the Bible to your children. You know, they don't have to know every word and what every word means to get the general idea of something. And beyond that, even if there are some harder words or phrases that you know that they're not going to understand, that's the way they learn to understand those, is by hearing the you know, higher reading level language, which would still apply to reading the Bible. And so, you know, what do they say? The Bible is a fifth grade reading level, and our kids are third grade and second grade and are not the best readers in the world, but, you know, they do pretty well. But there's still lots of things I think they didn't understand. But I think the main thing is that you're putting that into their mind and into their heart. Even at a young age, they've heard those verses and the phrases and words. And that's the best way, actually, to get them more comfortable with those phrases and words.
I've heard you say before, and I'm going to bring something up here that you and I have not talked about ahead of time. So Leah always loves it when I pepper her with a question that we haven't even thought about ahead of time.
But oh, yeah.
Just hearing you talking made me think of something you said, I don't even know how long ago I heard you say this. I've heard you say before that when children get older, whether homeschool, public school, whatever, when they get especially to upper middle and high school, and they start studying things like Shakespeare, that it's amazing how many kids that are familiar with the Bible do better at that, especially if they've read from one of the older translations, the King James, the American Standard, or something. Now, we didn't do that. We read from the English Standard Version. But I've heard you talk before about that, you know, most kids go, what on earth is this guy writing about? And kids who are familiar with the Bible, especially quote-unquote Old English Bibles, at least can read the words, where they get the full concept. It's an amazing, you know, parallel.
That's very true. You can read through all the hithers and thithers easier.
Super fluidity if you've of grown
up, if you've grown up hearing, and it's true, the King James Version, really, and maybe, I don't know about other versions, you know,
especially
more about that
one. Yeah, the American Standard doesn't have as many of the eths and ithers,
right,
and things, but it's written in an older English style than we speak in.
And so, you know, there is something to be said for that, and there is some educational value to the older languages, and as you get older, being able to understand Shakespeare.
But again, we're not saying you have to get your four-year-old and read the King James Bible to them, you know, from cover to cover. But what we're saying is, don't be scared away by the concept of, hey, this is hard for our kids. You know, your kids need to do some hard things. They need to be challenged from time to time. And this is a way where, yes, this is hard. I'm not saying, you know, now that we're basically done, our kids can explain the book of Romans, or they can, you know, they can walk through 1 Thessalonians and tell exactly what Paul's talking about. You know, I can't even do that from time to time. I've had, you know, college-level classes on that. But now when I get to preach, or we go to a gospel meeting, or we're at polishing the pulpit, or they're sitting in their Bible class, and someone mentions a verse, I'm not saying they remember every verse in the New Testament, but there's not a single verse in the New Testament they're not going to be able to say, I've never heard before. And there's something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful concept.
Well, and it's getting them at an early age this idea of reading the Bible, reading through the Bible, that is a great thing for them to go ahead and be familiar with and to be comfortable knowing that this is something we need to do. We don't just need to pick parts of the Bible to read and to be familiar with. We need to be familiar with the whole Bible.
So that's what we are completing. As we said, as we record this, we're almost done. And we want to make our podcast one that covers a lot of topics, but we'll kind of take just a second here and sort of bridge to the other part of our program, and to let you know that family devotionals, or what we call Bible time, is going to be a somewhat regular feature on the podcast. That doesn't mean we're going to talk about every month or even every other month, but probably a couple of times a year. We're going to come back to this concept, hopefully, and not just let you know what we're doing, but hopefully just give you some tools, some encouragement, maybe have some guests from time to time that have, you know, products or just good ideas or whatever. And so since this is what we have done, we want to take just a moment to think about some other things that we've considered doing when we finish this in a few days. There are zillions of different things to do for family devotionals. And I wanted to spin this forward, Leah, to talk about this concept, because some people, when they hear the phrase family devotional, think that what we have been doing is what you have to do, that you have to sit down with the Bible and daddy opens to, you know, Deuteronomy and starts reading the Old Testament law, and the kids just sit there smiling because, oh, I can't wait to hear how to take care of mold in the tent, you know, or whatever. It doesn't have to be that. It's been fun. It's been challenging. But we've got a couple of things we're hoping to do, we're thinking about when we finish here in a few days. One of them is something you've already mentioned in passing. That is, we want to take some time to memorize verses together. As we've gone through, and as I'm doing my daily Bible reading, I'm trying to write down a handful of verses here and there. And we want our kids to memorize verses in some fun ways. We have before made up, you know, songs. We're not the first ones ever to do that, obviously. We've made up songs before, you know, just some verses, very short verses that will encourage our kids, help them to, you know, hide God's word in their heart, that I might not sin against thee. I think I've read that somewhere. That's one thing. In fact, we are going to do that. We connected with the Lads to Leaders program that we're involved in here at Ninth Avenue. Our kids do Centurion of Scripture, memorize 100 verses each year. It's a way to do that, and we incorporate our Bible time in that. But there's, you know, some other things we thought about doing in the future.
I think one of the things we've mentioned and considered, we're going to be doing at some point the object lessons from Kyle Publications. We're interested in, they have several books. You may know more of the titles, but they have different categories. You have lessons from the house, lessons from the kitchen, lessons from the yard, and there are others too. And each devotional is just, it's small, it doesn't take long, and of course, it's an object lesson where there's verses and maybe even a song to sing that goes along with that.
Yeah, one of the great things about those is that it takes like a minute of planning, literally. I mean, you basically just print out the sheet, and at the bottom of the, or on the page, it just tells you everything you need to know. And as you're talking, I'm pulling up here. We actually spoke about these in an earlier program. If you go back to fawnfamily.com/6, the sixth episode of the podcast, we had Joe Wells on, or I had Joe Wells on as a guest with us. And we just talked about some simple family devotional ideas, and we made sure that he kind of got to plug those. He and his wife, Erin, are the ones who produce those, and they're great. They're an object lesson. You walk around the house and pick up, you know, a screwdriver, or you take your kids out in the yard and show them a tree or show them the horizon or whatever. And there's one page you just print out. It gives you a verse to read. It gives you the concept you're wanting your kids to gain from that. It gives you a short little talk, and I mean short little, like 45 seconds to a minute, maybe a minute and a half, that you talk through with your kids, a couple of review questions, and you said maybe a song, and even at the bottom of the page, it gives you a suggested prayer to pray with them at the end. And I'm not joking when I say 1 minute of preparation. The time it takes to either get the object or take your kids out and point to the horizon or the tree or the bush is all it takes. These do cost a little money, but I think they're like $10 for like a month's worth, which is fully worth it. And they're just print and go. That's something we've considered doing. Maybe not all of them, but quite a few of them over the next few months. Just a way to make our Bible time more interactive.
I think another idea, if it's okay to go ahead and mention another idea.
Let me just mention again that I'll link to that previous podcast in the show notes for this episode. So if you'll go to fawnfamily.com/13, you'll see links to that and anything else we talk about. fawnfamily.com/13.
Another idea is using the Discovery magazine from Apologetics Press. And that would be something that you could spend maybe a week on one issue of that. Now, I think those come out monthly, but I'm not sure if you're able, if this was something that you thought your kids would enjoy, that I believe you can order the back issues of that. And so, you know, that'd be an idea, is to go and use those for your Bible time and pick one article from that little magazine. It's not a full magazine. It's more, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 pages. I'm not sure. Something like that. We have some, but we have not been using them yet. But the other day I saw that actually when we moved, and I saw those that I've had for years, and our kids are at the perfect age for that right now.
I was going to say,
they're able to read them now.
Good. I'm sorry.
Oh, they're able to read them now. They would really enjoy doing that. So I think that would be something. And, you know, even if you just got, I think a year's, I'm not sure what the subscription amount is for a year.
We'll find out and put in the show notes again.
But if you could even just subscribe to that, and that that came once a month, well, that next week, that could be, and you could take a break from the other things that you're doing too, and it would kind of mix up things a little bit.
Yeah, like I said, we'll link to that in the show notes again. FawnFamily.com/13 will be the episode number here. But these are for, what, Leah, third through about fifth, maybe sixth grade would be about the target age, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, little, I don't mean in a negative way, but little magazines, a few articles, crossword puzzles, you know, right. games. And I'm not saying this in any way to be negative, but the kind of games you might see like on a menu, you know, children's menu at a restaurant, you know, those kind of games, little crossword puzzles, little word finds, those
true,
sorts
false,
of things.
Right. Yeah. Fun things that they would really enjoy doing.
Right. And most of them are about, obviously, apologetics, mm-hmm. which a lot of kids like, dinosaur kind of stuff, space kind of stuff.
About an animal. It could just be about an animal, even right. interesting things about the animal.
So that's a great idea. And there are other, we won't take the time to list all of them, but there are other, you know, publications that are somewhat like that. One more I'll mention, and this may seem a little, you know, super easy, but it's one that Joe and I talked about when he was on the podcast before. If you really are stuck for ideas for a devotional or a family Bible time, but you are regular in attendance where you go to church, use the stuff the Bible school teachers send home.
Exactly.
And that may seem super obvious, but sometimes they make these neat things. And, you know, sometimes just a little coloring sheet or whatever. Let the kid tell you the story again. Use the craft or whatever it is. And if the congregation you worship, where you worship, doesn't do a lot of, you know, take-home things, simply ask the teacher what they talked about. That's not forcing the teacher to do more work. It's just simply saying, I want to know, so that then this week we can at least talk about those lessons. But if they have take-home stuff, that stuff usually ends up in the trash or usually ends up stuffed away in the back corner of a closet. But if you're not real creative or you don't want to spend money, frankly, you know, to buy these, we don't have money to buy these resources, that's a free one.
That's a great idea. And another simple idea, too, is just to find a great Bible storybook and read a story every night. I mean, you know, that takes no mental preparation, and it's really a valuable thing for your kids. It's next best thing as reading through the Bible every night is to pick one of the Bible stories. I know there are several just really great ones, and I know that I'm not sure how to pronounce this. I know I'll get it wrong, but the Egermeyer maybe. I'm not sure, but this, I mean, that's been around for a long time. And then we bought one back at Polishing the Pulpit, this illustrated Bible storybook that we've not even really used yet. But that one looked great. It had a lot of in-depth things alongside each Bible lesson, maybe things about that area. If the Bible lesson mentioned grapes, how they harvested grapes, things like that going on in that one. And that looked really interesting.
So these are just some things that we've been thinking about. We wanted to just come on and just have a conversation with you, let you know some of the trials and tribulations of reading through the entire New Testament with your kids. But then, you know, here are just some ideas. As I said, this is a subject that we've addressed before, but we're going to come back to a couple of times a year because we think people are interested in it. We know we are. It's something that we enjoy, but frankly, it's also something we struggle with, to really think through what's next. You know, really think through what we'd like to do in each of those evenings that our family comes together. We've mentioned a handful of resources. If you'll go to fawnfamily.com/13, we will link to as many of them as we possibly can, and all of them will be there together. Instead of having you try to remember everything, just go to that one web address, and we would greatly appreciate that. We'll be back with you again next week with another devotional podcast. As we said at the outset, we would like some feedback if you like this format, or if you don't, just give us your thoughts. You can email us at fawnlegacy@gmail.com. That's fawnlegacy@gmail.com. Or if you subscribe on iTunes, take just a moment to leave a review there. That not only gives us the information that helps us to know what you like, but it also helps us in the iTunes search. As we said before, neither one of us has a clue how that works. That's just what iTunes says. So if you subscribe on iTunes, take just a moment to review the program there and give your feedback there. That would be very helpful to us. We appreciate you listening each week. Continue to spread the word about the program, and we appreciate all of you who listen each week and give us feedback in many different ways. And remember, until next week, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.